Let's quickly pray. Let's pray. Let's stay standing and let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that we can enter into your presence. Scripture tells us as we draw close to you, you draw close to us. And we also learn that we enter in with thanks and praise. And we not only come into the gates, but we can be in your throne room. So in this moment, as we're close to you, will you touch us? Especially our hearts right now. Will you soften it, God? If we've had a stressful week or maybe things have just got inside of our heart that's made it hard, will you soften it right now so your word can be planted deep into the soil of our hearts? We submit to you. We want to do your will. We resist the devil. We thank you that he has to flee. Pray to protect around us and our children. Pray in this hedge of protection you'd minister to us. Bring freedom, healing, and direction into our life. If anyone is without hope, God, will you knock on the door of their heart? Draw them unto yourself so they can open up that door and receive you as their Savior in Jesus' name. Everyone believe it? Amen. You guys can take your seats. Good morning to everyone. Trust that you're well. So good to have you here. If you're a first-time guest, if you have been a first-time guest recently, it's so good to have you come back and hopefully take your next spiritual step of drinking great coffee. Of course, people who drink our coffee fall more in love with Jesus. They say, thank you, Jesus, for this coffee. And everyone who likes coffee said, amen. Anyway, it's a spiritual step, I believe. Every morning helps you thank Jesus. But most of all, we want to encourage you to take a step. If you really want to experience what we've got for you as a church, you're going to experience it View Group and on Dream Team. Especially View Groups, because that's how we care for people, pastor people. But our Dream Teamers, because they are serving side by side, they also end up pastoring and caring for you. So those are the ways that you can really experience everything that God has for you. We're kicking off a brand new series called Peacemakers. And we're living in a world where people are honored nowadays for different things. In the past, people were honored if they were successful. And sometimes people could be blinded by other success, and successful people could receive honor and even become prideful and abuse others. And we've seen that happen. There have been injustices in our world because of it. Nowadays, they say that people receive honor when they've gone through a hard time, when they've got pain, or maybe they've experienced injustice. I think it's healthy for us to put the light on injustices that have happened in our past, because we have had terrible injustices happen in our past in our country, and we've seen things happen around the world. We all can agree that it were terrible. The only problem with the current season is once you become addicted to the honor that you receive because of the pain you've experienced, sometimes you just don't want to let go of the pain, hey? Because the pain allows you to march with the next march, to maybe write that Facebook post and have many people agree with you. And sometimes because of the pain that you've experienced and maybe the honor you receive because of your pain, when you hear that Jesus will forgive you, heal you, and now you have the ability to forgive others, it becomes something you just don't want to let go of. And so we also have to be aware of it. As children of God, once we come to Jesus, he forgives us, and no longer are we victims. We're victors in Christ. So no longer can we always be fixated on our past or say our past determines our future. We know now in Christ we're a new creation, and ahead of us is eternity, and we've got a difference we can make on earth. Of course, the other thing with staying a victim is birds of a feather flock together. And if you stay in that space of your pain, maybe bitterness, because of course it could start with unforgiveness, but bitterness can fester, it can become poison. And all of a sudden you can't relate to other people who aren't in pain. You can only relate to those in pain. And so for us in Christ, we don't overlook the pain. We don't disconnect with people who need help. But we can't only be attracted to others because we're also in pain. We need to love God and love people, and we need to bring the freedom and actually the ministry that Jesus has brought to us. So we're encouraging you to go on the journey as we look at how to be peacemakers. Of course, Christians were known first in the Bible, in the New Testament, as Christians, as people of the way. And Jesus says in the Beatitudes that we'll also be known as peacemakers. Of course, if you want to experience peace and you want to be a peacemaker, the key is that you have peace with, the key thought is peace with people follows peace with God. Peace with people follows peace with God. So we're going to look at peacemakers. We're going to understand that the key thing, if we're going to live at peace with other people, we're going to have peace with God, we're going to have peace with ourselves, and then we're going to have peace with others. Anyone ever have had a disconnect? They felt stressed by the disconnect, and you know you need to sort it out. And you go, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go and deal with this disconnect. I'm going to go straight to the person. Then I'm going to finally have peace within myself, and then I'm going to go back to God. But God would encourage us to first have peace with Him, peace with ourselves, and then go make peace with people. Of course, on the way there, don't go tell five other friends over coffee about the disconnect. And we'll talk about that in week 3 and 4. One of the greatest things you could do with your life is actually to build a bridge, and not to just build walls. And the person who built a bridge for us is Jesus. Of course, it says while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were actually far from God, Jesus came close to us, and He made a way, laid down His life. And of course, you see this picture of this gap. And we're on one side and trying to get to God in our own strength. But Jesus becomes that bridge. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to reconcile us to God. He came and He made a way. The Bible says there is one God, one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is the bridge. And I want to encourage you today that Jesus not only reconciles you to God, He can actually reconcile you to people in your world. He can restore the relationship. When I say this, I also want you to remember that you can't get all the T's and cross and the I's dotted in your relationship. And you don't have to live at peace. Can I have hands up for married couples in the room? I'm married. Any other married people? Okay, you can put your hand down. Put your hand up if you have ever had a disagreement with your spouse. Okay. I want to let you know that you can have disagreements with your spouse and still have peace. You don't have to get your spouse. Some guys are going, no, Andre, you're lying to me. I've actually just talked to the ladies now, of course. The guys, we know that. But you don't have to get your spouse to be just like you to live at peace. You'd be foolish to think that way, because God made us all differently. I'm not saying there needs to be main common denominators when it comes to unity and vision. I'm just saying you can't try to put everyone in a box and go, once this person is just like this, then I'll have peace with them. No. You and I can live at peace with people who are different to us, and marriage proves that. We, of course, are not perfect. The only one who's perfect is Jesus. And then we live life with many imperfect people. And we're going to give you some keys how to live life like that. But the first thing I'll let you know is if you are looking for peace, you need to look to God. You cannot make peace with other people until you make peace with God. If you find yourself in constant conflict, ask yourself whether you've made peace with God. If you are in many fights, always in conflict with work colleagues, at home, you can look at those people and try to figure it out. But I encourage you, your next step is actually asking yourself, how's my relationship with God? Before you try to fix your relationships with other people, just go back to God and let Him minister to you. Because the ministry He says you will carry is one of a peacemaker. And the only way to do that is to get your peace from the Prince of Peace. You have to go to God first. Yeah, I was with the staff. We look at different leadership principles. We train, we worship and pray together besides other planning stuff. I think it's so important for us to always have a strong devotional life as a team. And we look at different principles. And one of the things I spoke about was Michelangelo, of course, did the sculpture of David. And it took him 4 years. But prior to that, 25 years before he worked on the project, two Italian sculptors were assigned the job. They were hired. They said that the marble was inferior, that it had too many issues for them to make the sculpture. And then when Michelangelo came, he saw the piece of marble and he says, "I saw David. And I chipped away the parts that weren't David." And that's how he actually got to David. And I just had thought, I said to the staff, what's crazy is normally it's how we are doing. How we're doing determines how we see things. I don't know where those two sculptors were at, but Michelangelo was in a totally different place. What they saw is problems, he saw a sculpture. And when you always are at conflict with people, when you're always seeing problems in other people, sometimes it's because you personally have a problem. When you're always seeing conflict, sometimes it's because you just don't have any peace. I think it's actually all the time. And God says, you will be a peacemaker. I don't want to put a muzzle on the dog and say, now stop biting the postman. But there aren't many postmen around nowadays, so don't get sidetracked. But sometimes you can feel like I'm putting a muzzle on you. Don't do that. Now, in my heart, I still want to do it. Now you're telling me I must make peace. No. I want to encourage you that God will never call you to something and not provide what you need to do it. And if he's calling you to be a peacemaker, it means he's inviting you to experience his peace. And if you would go to God and receive it, you'll find it way easier to let it flow out of your life. Peace with God leads to peace with yourself, which leads to peace with others. That's what we want to encourage you in this next few weeks. Peace with God leads to peace with yourself, which leads to peace with others. And when you do get to the third part and there's conflict, it's normally because you don't have peace with yourself. And the only reason you don't have peace with yourself is because you don't have peace with God. God made you in your mother's womb. He knew every day ahead of you. He made you wonderfully and skillfully. He actually placed you exactly where you need to be. He knew you'd be where you'd be born, where you'd live, which he knew exactly. And he's faithful. He knows what's ahead of you. And you can have peace with God right now, what you're facing. Even in the storm, Jesus slept. Jesus, don't you care about us? And then Jesus speaks to the storm, what was inside of him. He said, peace. Jesus wants you to also have that peace. John 14 verse 27 says, I'm leaving you with a gift. I want you to focus on the first few words. I'm leaving you with a gift. How do you guys get gifts? Do you work for them? Someone, come on, let's face it. On our birthdays, hey, like, you guys don't have to buy me anything. I know what I want to get myself. Yeah. Then you use your own money. Anyway, it doesn't really work out. But gifts should be received, not, you don't work for. They're received, actually. That's really what a gift is. And God says, I'm going to give you something that you won't have to work for. That's what he's telling you. Well, what do you want to give me that I don't have to work for? Peace of mind and heart. Listen, you might say, Andre, I will feel more peaceful when I have this much money in my bank account, when I have this house, when things go like this, when our economy is at, when so-and-so's elected, or when this person's in political power, or when this happens. That's a lie. Those things are fragile and temporary. They will never give you peace. Really, you're looking for a peace beyond the temporary, an eternal peace. Everyone wants it. It's the best thing you can ever have. And God says, I'll give it to you as a gift. Are you overlooking this gift he's given you? Are you waking up every morning and partaking in it? How do you receive it? You just have to accept it. Acknowledge that he's giving it and say that you need it. Humbly accept it. A humble heart easily receives the gifts God has for them. And he's given you a gift. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. And you'll go, if the world just gives me this and this much money, if the world gives me this, then I'll have peace. No, the world can never give you the peace I'm offering you. Only I can give this peace. And it's just in these moments, these quiet moments every morning where we almost get filled with the peace again. The shalom, shalom in Isaiah. And I'll touch on that. It's double peace. I think the peace God wants to give you is peace for you and clearly peace for somebody else because he wants to give you a double portion. His mercies are new every morning. God's given you peace, not just for you, but clearly for others as well. Why else would he give you a double portion? Just to let it flow and be wasted? Then he says you should be a peacemaker. So, of course, how do we get this peace? Peace is not something we work for big. It's a gift received by faith. Every morning by faith, we say, God, I receive the gift. Of course, we turn to him in prayer. We cast our cares upon the Lord. And as we do this, we focus on his goodness. And all of a sudden, it says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything with thanksgiving. Bring your petitions to God. And the peace of God comes in into that situation. You start your day off in prayer. You might even be on driving or on the My City bus or walking. You pray, and all of a sudden, the peace of God enters your life. That's a simple route to peace. Bringing your petitions, bringing your needs, thanking him for his goodness, casting it upon the Lord, and then the peace of God comes into your life. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the ones that God will call his children. There's a huge blessing for peacemakers. And it's amazing. He calls you peacemakers, then he provides all you need to be a peacemaker. And then he says, now you're going to be even more blessed. What an awesome father we serve. He doesn't try to get you to, you know what I mean? You have to do these five things and jump this high and do that and say this seven times. No, just receive my peace. How? Cast your cares upon me again. Remember how good I am. Thank me. And then my peace passes all understanding. That's bigger than that the world can provide. Will come into your life. And then as your peacemaker, you'll be blessed. Because that's the children of God. James teaches us about six seeds of peace. And I'm going to give you six seeds you can sow. And what I want to do in the front end is just encourage you to be a peacemaker, to know that it's only from God. I'm going to give you two things at the end just to help you live in peace. But I also want to invite you in the next few weeks to become a peacemaker. My wife's going to talk about you being at peace with yourself next week. I want to encourage you to come. Because let's face it, isn't that like the trouble we face in this world? No one's at peace with themselves. No one's content. No, somehow God got it wrong. Somehow God got it wrong when he made you. Somehow God made a mistake with you, the enemy. And no one's at peace anymore. So I want to encourage you to come to that. But in James 3 verse 30, it says, if you are truly a wise and understanding person, it will be seen in your life by the good deeds you do out of the humility that always comes from wisdom. But if in your heart you are selfish, jealous, or bitter towards others, don't think you're wise because it's a lie. That's never wisdom from God. Instead, it's from the world and your unspiritual nature and from the devil himself. Of course, you can never, what he's saying, you can never justify selfishness, jealousy, and bitterness. You can't even like try to go, yeah, God's given me this, you know, burden. No, it's from the devil. For whenever there is envy or selfish ambition, you'll always find confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, every kind of evil. I encourage you to never let envy and selfish ambition come into your house. And it's hard. We're humans. We make mistakes. But have relationships that can encourage you and maybe even call it out if it's coming in. Because you don't want confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and every kind of evil to enter that house as well. Keep it out of your relationships. Keep it out of your workplace, your marriage, as much as you can. When peacemakers plant seeds of peace, they'll harvest justice. I love this. James sort of says, you'll be seen as wise by how you act, but don't be fooled by all this selfish ambition and jealousy and fighting and envy That's from the pit of hell. And the fruits of it are terrible. But wise people, they're peacemakers. They plant seeds of peace and they'll harvest justice. Maybe you've experienced injustice and you don't know how to experience justice. You go, if I just do this again, or if I stand up for myself, I will get justice. Jesus tells us here, if you plant seeds of peace, you'll reap a harvest of justice. God's going to have your back. He's going to look out for you. Quickly, seed number one. If I'm wise, I won't compromise the truth. James 3 verse 17, real wisdom is first of all pure. Proverbs 15 verse 26, the Lord delights in pure words. Ephesians 4 verse 15, God wants us to grow up to know the whole truth and to tell it in love. The first thing I want to encourage you is don't compromise on the truth. If you could tell a lie to sort of lift yourself up or keep somebody in chains, don't go there. Tell the truth. God will bless you as you tell the truth. Decide that the truth no longer is going to have a foothold. The lies no longer will have a foothold in your life. You're going to tell the truth. In whatever you're doing, tell the truth. God says, you're planting a seed that I can work with that will lead to righteousness, to lead to justice. I want to encourage you, the first thing, to not let the enemy get a foothold is you tell the truth. The next thing I encourage you to do is, if I'm wise, I won't stir up your anger. I won't stir up my neighbor's anger. I won't stir up my family's anger. James 3 verse 17 says, real wisdom is peaceful. Proverbs 20 verse 3, any fool can start arguments. Think about that. Any fool can start arguments. You know, then I started this argument with this person. Hey, come on, think back. How many times have you been foolish like me and you started arguments? Any fool can do that. The wise thing is to stay out of them. Proverbs 14 verse 29. A wise man controls his temper. He knows that anger causes mistakes. I encourage you, if you are getting to arguments, or one of the ways to stay out of arguments is don't bring comparison into your relationships. Don't bring comparison into your relationships. Don't condemn or say one thing and do another, contradict. It's going to lead to arguments. You cut those things out. Another seed you can sow, if you're going to be a peacemaker, I won't minimize your feelings. You know, we're living in a world where everyone has to justify their feelings above everyone else's. Somebody tells you about their pain, you go, yes, but have you heard mine? You're telling them their pain's pointless and who cares, but you're overlooking their, and you're going, you're actually just pouring water over what they're saying and trying to put it out. We should be slow to speak, quick to listen. As soon as we do it, we'll understand a bit more and we'll be planting seeds of peace. Seed number four, I won't criticize your suggestions. Real wisdom is not defensive. It's open to reason. Proverbs 12 verse 15 says, a fool thinks he needs no advice, but a wise man listens to others. Let's not just be know-it-alls. Even as we listen to people, we're going to sow seeds of peace. Another way to sow seeds of peace is, I won't emphasize your mistakes. Real wisdom is full of mercy and helpful. Maybe you emphasize your spouse's mistakes a lot, your child's mistakes, and you somehow think your spouse's, your marriage is going to flourish. Your child's going to flourish. Maybe your colleagues, you emphasize their mistakes and somehow those people are just going to rise up. No, so seeds of peace. Last seed, I won't despise our differences. Real wisdom is free of prejudice and hypocrisy. James 3 verse 17. This year, we are different. That's the beauty of our country. I always think South Africa looks like heaven. So why shouldn't we get a touch of heaven? In a world that doesn't want to do life together multiculturally, every tribe, every tongue, I think it's amazing. And we should be people who celebrate it first, especially as Christians. Christian kingdom culture should always be breaking walls down and building bridges. If your culture doesn't allow other cultures to be celebrated, that's not a kingdom culture. Yeah, but in my culture, if you're fixated in protecting your culture so much so that you can't celebrate others, you know, your culture, if it's a Christian culture, it should be willing to lay down its culture to lift somebody else's arm. And you know that you don't lose it as you're generous. You mean the kingdom, the heart of God should be at the front of what you do. So I don't despise our differences. I want to see your difference and celebrate it. God made you like that, and you've got these things you do. I celebrate it. I sow seeds of peace. When you do sow these seeds, it's a sign that you're wise, James says. It's a sign of wisdom. It's actually a sign of health. But the only way to sow seeds like this is to let God plant a seed of peace in your heart. For Him to do the work. Colossians 2 verse 3 says, the secret is Christ Himself. In Him lie hidden all God's treasures of wisdom. The secret to living a wise life and sowing seeds of peace is actually Christ. It's Him. It's a personal relationship with Christ. Everything you need, the peace and the wisdom, is found in Jesus Christ, the person who is Christ. And as you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will have all you need, all the treasures. Can I have the worship team to come up? I'm going to give you some quick thoughts, two things. First of all, we will be kept in perfect peace as we trust God and fix our thoughts on Him. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord your God is the eternal rock. Of course, if we're going to have peace, what we learn is the first thing is we're going to have to fix our thoughts on Him and trust Him in our hearts. And we saw earlier that God gives us peace. The gift of peace is peace of mind and heart. That's where God does the peace work. And of course, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so easy. And so we need to make sure we are trusting God. Remember, I told you one of the seeds of peace is telling the truth. If you don't tell the truth, you can't be trusted. And any healthy relationship is built on trust. Of course, you and I need to trust God. We need to see His truth. We need to fix our mind on Him. Colossians 3 verse 1 says, since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Of course, in Isaiah that I just read, it says that God will keep you in perfect peace. All those who trust in Him, whose thoughts are fixed on Him. The word there, shalom, is wholeness, completeness, fullness of peace. It's a Jewish greeting. In the original Hebrew text, it says that you'll be kept in shalom, shalom. That's a double portion of peace. And like I mentioned earlier, clearly I think when God gives you peace, He gives it in overflow. He's given you enough peace to be a peacemaker. It's giving you enough peace to let it overflow into your marriage, your work life, into how you do life in this community, into a diverse nation. He's given you enough peace to carry into the differences you'll experience in this world. Difference of opinion. But God's given you enough peace. It's the ultimate gift, peace. You just need to have a fight with your spouse long enough to realize that peace is the best thing that can happen to you. And all the guys said, and all the ladies. I know it's a joke in that, and you can, but it's true. Peace in your home is the most beautiful gift. How much more peace in your heart and your mind? And God says, those who trust God and fix their thoughts in Him carry peace. I encourage you every morning, just wake up and trust Him again. His mercies are new. Cast your cares upon Him again and put your full trust on Him. He's the rock of our salvation. Don't put your full trust on the temporary that can be shaken, in the boat that can be shaken in the storm. Put your full trust on the rock of our salvation, because even when this world is shaken, you'll see that He can't be shaken. Put your trust on Jesus and focus on His promises. Of course, if you start your day, remember the battle for your peace starts in your mind. The battle for your peace will start in your mind, and the enemy can attack your thought life, but you could start your day fresh, fixing your thoughts on Him. In the original language, it means samak, to lean completely, to fully rest oneself. Perfect peace comes when we fully rest on God, who's given us unfailing promises. God is not a man that He would lie. And as you rest on His promises, you will find perfect peace. You rest, you climb on top of those promises. You make sure those promises are close to your heart. When my wife was studying and they had to do government service, it became pretty stressful. So she wrote down the promises of God, and she's told you. She'd write down a little piece of paper and she'd put it in her pocket, her scrubs pocket. And then whenever she felt her peace was being attacked, she would take out the promises. She'd again say it to herself, this is who I am in Christ. This is what Christ's done. This is what I'm standing on. And all of a sudden, the peace of God would come back into her life in its fullness. Philippians 4 verse 8, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Then the peace of God will be with you. Your thought life is key. Every morning start writing down the promise of God, putting your trust in Him. Fix your thoughts on things above, on Christ, who's already got your victory. Jesus, of course, speaks to the storm when the disciples in the boat, and He says, peace be still. And he speaks to them what He's carrying, the peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And God will give you the peace that He wants you to carry. He's going to give you the peace you know you're supposed to carry as a peacemaker. And you can, of course, speak that. You don't have to even say it loudly. Sometimes you can just pray the peace of God. I want to encourage you. I said it on Easter, but when I prayed for my neighbor, for what they're experiencing, just a sense of something evil in the house, I prayed God's resurrection power and His peace over that house. You can go to work tomorrow and you're going to pray the peace of God over your workplace. Go into your relationships, pray the peace of God. You're going to carry peace. You're a peacemaker. You're going to speak it over the storms. And then, of course, peace isn't found in the absence of problems. True peace is found in the presence of God. True peace is found in the presence of God. So every morning, you're going to fix your thoughts. You're going to trust Him again. I encourage you to get into His presence. You might want to start with some worship music every day. You might want to even play it in the house. Sometimes I play it in the kitchen. I have my quiet time. I put worship music on. The girls come and have breakfast. They start their day with worship music. I let God's presence get into the house. We got a rule. We get in the car. We know the first song we do, our first songs are worship songs. And of course, I'll go find some music they like. And I always look at artists who put out new, fresh things. And I go, oh, I can't wait to play this new song. And they get excited. Then they want to play it. But we get into God's presence, because peace isn't found in the absence of problems. True peace is found in the presence of God. I get into His presence. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Thanking Him. And one of the key, best ways to thank Him, I think, is in worship. Put a worship song on. Thank Him. Bring your request to God. Thank Him. You know, my daughter's my daughter said to me the other night, "Dad, you know, I feel like God's word, like they're 9/11, so we teach them. My wife's teach them how to have quiet times. We talk about the Bible. They write out prayers but the key thing we teach them now is sometimes they go, "Oh, this you mean, like I read it, but I didn't fully understand it," and they almost say like it feels a bit dry, you know, my quiet time. I said, "No, you need to soak your quiet time in the presence of God." So then the last few nights we just be doing worship with them, and then we read afterwards, teaching them how to get into God's presence, teaching them how to fall in love with God, teach them to enjoy the peace that comes in His presence. So yeah, we present our request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Can I ask you to quickly close your eyes? Maybe you need to receive God's peace. A simple way is to acknowledge that you need His forgiveness. The Bible says as we confess that we are sinners, God's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. As we confess that He's the Son of God, we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, will be saved. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. Even maybe you need to receive His forgiveness for the first time. Or maybe you're coming back to Him and you're asking Him to be Lord again of your life. Maybe you haven't had Him in first place and you're saying, "God, I want You to be first place. I want the Prince of Peace to lead my life." That's you. I'd love to lead you in a prayer, a confession where you ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to be the Lord of your life. Just with every eye closed, I respect. And you're saying, "That's me. Include me in that prayer. Just give me a wave. So that's me." God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Awesome. Some people, they're asking God to forgive them. For others, they're just saying, "God, be the Lord again of my life. Lead me, Jesus." Anyone else? Awesome. You guys put your hands down. Let's pray together. Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. Thank You that You're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. I confess that You are the Son of God. I believe in my heart that God raised You from the dead. Jesus, please be the Lord of my life, the leader of my life, the Prince of Peace for me. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's just thank Jesus for everything He's done for us. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Can I ask everyone just to quickly look to their right? Yaku's opened a door over there. If you prayed that prayer, if you put your hand up, maybe you didn't put your hand up, but you prayed that prayer, your next step is to tell someone. That's what I encourage people, just to tell someone you prayed that prayer, you made a commitment or a recommitment. And then they can tell you about your next step. We've got a following Jesus next step where you learn about the foundations of your relationship with Jesus. If you are new and you also need prayer, or anyone who needs prayer, you can also make your way there. We've got men and women prayer counselors. Remember, new people, grab your first coffee at the God Can banner and the View Group banner. You can also find out about View Groups, youth for your children at those spaces, and you can find out online. God bless you guys.